Welcome, everybody, to this special presentation of the Crimson Circle, especially for Crimson Circle angels, for Crimson Circle staff and volunteers. Let's take a deep breath as we begin this special gathering today. Just a minute ago, the room was bubbling over with energy from the group that we have here today. After playing that music, you could just feel everything settle in.
Not me.
You could feel the energies of Adamus and the other beings of the Crimson Council who work with us come into the room.
I'm telling myself, calm down, calm down, calm down.
You were excited?
I am so excited because this is our celebration and our special webcast for the angels, the people that really, really go out of their way to contribute and make a special difference to so much of what we're doing. And it's a very special, honored group.
And it's especially beautiful right now because Linda and I just came back from our last trip of the year. We just came back the other day from Brazil. And we've been around the world this year. And it's amazing to see Chambra from all parts of the world, whether it's Asia, Europe, United States, South America. We've really noticed that over the last couple of years, Chambra are really settling into their themselves, really coming to understand this phrase that we say, I am God also, but really starting to embody that rather than just have it as a phrase that they speak. We see that Chambra all over the world are much less prone to drama, much more even in their own lives. A lot of the traumatic things that they've been going through, a lot of the processing and a lot of the rejuvenation has taken a new turn, going to a new cycle. And they're really a lot more accepting of themselves, a lot more accepting of the world around them.
Well, what better time when almost every formal structure I know of is going to hell in a handbasket. So what better time to truly be able to find your own safe space and your own clarity? Because if you're counting on anybody else to do it for you, you're really screwed these days. It's a great time to live all of this information.
The world right now is an interesting place. If you do tune into the news or read the headlines,
try not to.
Every day it's something different going on out there, and it's easy to get caught up in, but I think Chambra really has the tools and the desires to kind of remove themselves from it, at least to get a higher level perspective.
Exactly.
And to understand that the world is just going through a very natural process of its own rejuvenation, of its own remaking. And I think it makes it easier because we've all gone through that. We've had our own personal experience. And we've learned that you can truly create a safe space. We've learned that everything really does work out okay if you just trust yourself. And there's no reason to get into the drama unless, of course, you like drama.
There's moments.
We've seen Chambra all over the world who have benefited from the relationship that we've all created through this thing called the Crimson Circle. And it's certainly not just about Linda and I, Norma and Garrett, or the staff. It's about all of us. And it's whether it's the occasional reader or somebody who just can't wait for the next shout to come out. I mean, really, just can't wait for it to come out. We've joined together in this beautiful, non-structured affiliation. You know, there's no dues, there's no membership. I haven't seen yet anybody that has to carry a card saying that they're Chambra. And it's a very informal, but a very deeply connected relationship. And Linda and I are always aware of the work that all of you are doing. People sitting here, the people listening in online right now, the people that will be listening to this later, that really form the core energy of Crimson Circle and of this incredible thing that we've been developing, working with the new energy. We're always aware of the hard work that goes on behind the scenes with all the staff and the volunteers, And we're especially appreciative of what the Crimson Circle Angels are doing for this group. We know that it's a small group compared to the overall number of Chambers all around the world, but it's an extremely important group because literally you, the Crimson Circle Angels, are providing the motivation, the enthusiasm, the support, the finances to keep all of this going, to make sure that we can do our webcasts every month, to make sure that we can maintain the website that we have. It's a huge website, and it's actually very costly to maintain. But because of the support that you give, there's people right now, literally right now, that are on the Crimson Circle website reading the materials, maybe for the first time.
From every world in the world we can imagine. Every time I turn around and go looking at who's logged in and where they're from, places sometimes I really have to go to the map because it's just unbelievable how remote and yet how often people in these remote places find the Crimson Circle. And you know, it's like a seed. If they find it and they gain something from it that they share with someone else, it really, really spreads very, very quickly and in a most astounding way. And you all help to allow that, to create that.
We're seeing more and more people from places that we would have never imagined, from China, from India, a lot of people now tuning in from Africa. This is extremely gratifying and rewarding to know that the work that we're all doing and the experiences that we're all sharing are having a profound influence on people all over the world. In Brazil last week, we talked to a number of people at the Mystery School who were relatively new to all of this. I mean, new to not just Crimson Circle, but to really anything spiritual, anything outside of organized religion. They found that they were going through a crisis in their life or having those big life questions come in, like, why am I here? And they got on the internet and started surfing and landed at Crimson Circle. They tell us that it's made a profound difference in their life, where they felt things were relatively meaningless, or they felt lost, or probably more than anything else, where they felt totally alone.
Isolated.
Suddenly, they found a family, people with like spirit and like heart.
Information that they truly connected with in a very, very personal way. In their individual space, you know, again, often, you know, it's not big groups, it's small individuals. And we kind of love when we do our workshops because people that have never met each other often meet at the workshop. So we really see how people really come to it in an unbelievable way.
And not only just meet and make friends, but meet and sometimes even get married.
Boo-boo.
There's quite a few. So,
by the way, just in case Adamus wants a special throne.
Yes, I've seen that over there, and I would like to sit there. I don't know about Adamus, but that looks very comfortable, and it has kind of a position of authority.
Festive and royal.
Yeah. But you know, it also scares me.
He's afraid it might burn because it's meant for
Santa? No, because last time I sat in a chair like that, I was probably 4 years old, and I was sitting on Santa's lap. And I remember that.
Was it a good experience?
No, because while I revered this image of Santa Claus, and of course trying to be nice because I wanted good gifts.
I bet I can guess.
I bet you can't.
Santa had a toddy?
Yes, you got that. Santa smelled like Jack Daniels.
Good guesser, eh?
I realized at that point this was not really Santa Claus. It was
at four.
It was devastating.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Devastating. But,
I held on to that belief as long as I could. It seemed to be rewarding to believe in it.
So anyway, back to the point. All of this is done. The Crimson Circle, Chambro, all of the relationships and affiliation, all done really without any dogma, without any rules. Again, there's nothing to join. Nobody's required to work their way up through different levels of the organization and become a level 4 Chambra or level 6 Chambra.
Thank God.
It is what it is. And it therefore takes on its own life without any artificial influence or anything from the outside. People can read the shouds or not read them. They can go to the workshops and take what they want from it or not. But we're really putting out our history. We're putting out our journey of Earth in maybe our last lifetime, if you choose, or some of the last lifetimes. But we're documenting the history of our journey here on Earth and what it's like to transition from being a human into a divine human. So it's
and some days go better than others.
Most days are pretty good. So we want to personally thank everyone for participating in this, for being a Crimson Circle angel, staff member, volunteer, whatever reason you're here. We deeply appreciate it, and we know there's people all around the world who do. Whenever we travel, they're always asking us to give thanks to the group that's making this work. So
thank you, everyone.
And it's allowing us to do things like our newest venture, the Awakening Zone International Radio Network, which we're right in the midst of going through the creation process.
We just wasn't busy enough, so we just said, we got to do something else.
But, you know, it was time to reach out.
It was.
And it was time to open up, and not just with a Crimson Circle message, but messages from a lot of different hosts and guests from all different parts of the world. It was time to put this kind of under an umbrella where people from all over the world had the access, could tune in. You know, some people don't.
Well, lots of flavors so that people really see that there are, you know, many resources there.
Absolutely. So we plan to launch that on January 1st. It's a huge undertaking. I underline in boldface, huge undertaking.
Bigger than we imagined.
Bigger than we imagine. But the incredible thing is that Linda and I have been impressed, overwhelmed, elated that the staff has jumped into this
right.
And really gotten behind it, is working very, very hard to make it work. We've been gone last month or two on trips, and to hear what they're doing with this to bring it into being is amazing. So we're going to literally be reaching out to a whole new audience. It'll be Crimson Circle people, but it'll be a lot of new people as well. And again, the objective isn't to sell any philosophy or religion or idea. It's to make the information available for those who choose to receive it, for those who choose to benefit.
And we even sense in our lives, that, and I'm sure you do too, that as we're out there and talking to people, it's amazing the new people that are asking us questions that we don't bring it up to them. They're asking us, like, what's going on? What do you think this is about? How do you cope with this stuff? Because there really is a general awakening, and it is expanding quickly. And for me, one of the most exciting things I've noticed is, now, maybe it's just because Adamus is, his sort of aggressive, sassy style, but we clearly are seeing more young people showing up, and that's kind of exciting.
So what you're saying is Adamus is hip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And a few
he
more
wanted
men.
To know.
Yeah, and a few more men. Yeah, and a sexy guy, too.
A lot of young people, actually a lot of men, you know, which is...
More men?
Yeah. We actually had a, I have to tell a little story. So in Brazil, we were having a party on the beach one night. Yeah, tough life, but somebody has to do it. And some of the men came over and sat down with Linda and I. These were young, you know, one of the guys was 21, and some of them, they were in their 20s and 30s. And they came over and they said, why is it that all the Chambra women just kind of put a barrier up, won't let us in? And it was kind of weird. It's like, actually, they're wondering the same about you. But actually, what we did tell them was, you know, when we get together for a gathering like this, it's the safe space. And there's not a lot of this cha-cha energy, this SES energy going on. And cha-cha, I didn't know. Well, we were in Brazil. It was, you know, cha-cha energy.
I don't think they do the cha-cha in Brazil, but
really?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm. But, you know, and they thought that was really cool, that it is a safe space. There's not a lot of the games going on, and kind of just a mutual respect. You know, they were expecting, I think some of them were expecting to come there to do a little dating service thing, and it wasn't happening. But then they settled. They were new Schomburg also. They kind of settled down and thought, ah, how nice. And one of them came up to me at the end and said, it was really nice just being who I am here, not having to play the game. So that was beautiful. So anyway, we're here today, of course, to hear what Adamus has to say. And he is going to take questions. You have some written questions.
Yes, I do.
And hopefully we'll have some time for audience questions. Do we have a microphone?
We didn't set it up like that, but I've got more than enough to get through this session. We told people they needed to submit them.
Okay.
Okay.
You have to be submissive. Okay. So with that, we're ready
for a really good message.
Yes. With that, once again, we want to thank all of the Crimson Circle angels, staff, and the volunteers
thank
for
you.
Making this possible. It's grown into an international organization or an international group. Continues to evolve and to grow. And what I also want to mention what Linda and I are seeing right now, and I know Norma Garrett, you're seeing it as well when you travel, is a lot of the people that were kind of very quiet, kind of hiding in the background a few years ago, are now coming out. They're writing books. They're doing. They're starting businesses. They're really coming into their own. As a matter of fact, it's almost epidemic. They're just.
It's really cool stuff. Like we met a physics professor from Brazil. Anyways, he was developed this whole thing where he was working with kids and got incredibly positive results with very difficult kids working with them with breath. And he, you know, and so he published a book. He's got a book out right now.
With breath in the school system and with remarkable results that actually had the school system wondering what the hell was going on because the results were so good. And because of the pressure, and he wasn't conforming with the system, he actually left the regular system and went into the private system and is continuing to do the work there. So
he was so excited and so proud to share that. And it's in Portuguese, and we were inviting him to get that translated because people need to hear these stories and the results. And he was working with seriously challenged kids. It wasn't just everyday class. These were kids that were really facing some issues.
So as I'm listening to the news and reading what's going on in the world and wondering sometimes, how is the world going to, I mean, what can we do to change the world? Then I hear this inner voice says, we're already doing it. We're doing it in exactly the way we are. And, you know, the world is going through its commotions, and we quietly, all of us, are just doing our work one at a time as sovereign beings, making a real difference. So we want to thank everybody for being part of this. So with that, Linda's going to do some breathing, some music, and get ready for Adamus.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
It's my honor to stand here with you, those here, and those listening in, to invite you to breathe consciously, to breathe now. Breathe deeply, breathing completely into you. Breathing in celebration of the Creator that you are, of the love and support that we create together and offer to others. Breathe deeply, expanding within you and expanding out. Breathing, celebrating. In gratitude, breathing deeply, feeling the divine human that each of us is. Breathing it allowing it, feeling it. Breathe deeply and celebrate this worldwide network, this virtual creation that reaches out to so many. Breathe. Breathe and allow. Breathe and celebrate all that you are, all that we are. Breathe.
That I am Adamus of Sovereign Domain. It is an honor for me to be here on this beautiful day, acknowledging and thanking each one of you, all of you who are here on top of the mountain, all of you who are joining us over your internet. So, dear Shambro, where were you? December 1995. I can't resist. I can't resist. If I only had my hat. And what would you like, little girl? Where were you, December 1995? What were you doing? Probably don't remember. Where were you living? What was your job? Who were you with? What were you thinking? What was your passion? December 1995. Why is that important? Because that's when the call went out from Tobias and the Crimson Circle. The call went out saying, it's time. It's time we gather back together again. It's time to reconnect after a couple thousand years of going our own way. Time to reconnect our Atlantean roots. Time to reconnect our Christ era, Yeshua era workings. Time to bring it back together. Why? Because the earth was ready. Humanity was ready. Humanity was approaching this millennium, approaching the prophesied end of the world, but Tobias knew it wasn't the end. It was actually a new beginning. So the call went out and said, let's do it. And somewhere, whether it was deep within or whether it was a book falling off a shelf or whether it was a dream or some incident in your life, you heard it. You felt it. Over the next few years after that, Tobias started literally bringing those energies together for all who had raised their hand, and even those who didn't, started bringing them together, saying, we're going to create this thing with Shambro here on Earth. We're going to create this thing called the Crimson Circle. These will be the ones who actually didn't need to be here in this lifetime, actually not coming back for their own karma. He said, you're going to pretend that you are. You're going to pretend that you have issues, but actually you don't. As you've heard many times from us, it's really not about you. You go through a lot of things in your life, challenges and issues and ups and downs. You're really, really not doing it for yourself, I'm sorry to say. You're doing it on behalf of others. You're doing it to help to process, to move, to rejuvenate certain energies as true standards. I can't wait for the day when you really get that, when you really get that. Oh, you hear it, and sometimes it feels like a good, fuzzy, fluffy thought. Oh, these aren't really my problems. But the next day, you go right back to owning them. They're really not yours. Absolutely not. I wish that I could pull them from you, but you're having far too much fun with them right now, so we'll let the game continue for a little bit, not for too much longer. So, you were the ones who didn't actually have to be here, but first of all, you wanted to be here on Earth to go through this amazing experience, so you could tell all of your other angel friends about it later. You wanted to be here as standards for the others. You wanted to be here to really make a difference on Earth. You wanted to be here to go through the experience, not from my perspective or Tobias's or the other angelic beings, but to be immersed deeply in the experience. So, here you are. Here you are, the ones who are the core energy, the true standard energy, the supporting energy for all of this work that's being done. And it's not just about the ones who call themselves Shambra. It's not just for the ones who are reading the information that you post on your internet. Actually, that just represents a small, small portion of the ones that are really affected by what you're doing. I can't even begin to articulate how many humans are in some sort of pain or crisis. How many humans are beginning to go through an awakening process that could take 5, 10, 20 lifetimes. How many humans are in the hell of their own karma and calling out in their quiet, dark spaces for help and assistance? They don't know even who they're calling out to, but they're wanting change. They're wanting something different for their soul. They're wanting to get out of this cycle of drama and lifetimes, and they're wanting to remember who they really, really are. And that's why you're here. That's truly what the work is doing. From our standpoint, from which we call the angelic beings, there's only so much we can do. Unless a being is actually embodied in physical matter, there's only so much they can do. It's the humans who are birthed here, who are living amongst mass consciousness, who are connected to Earth in a very real and very physical way, those are the ones that do the real work. From our standpoint, the angelic beings can offer you words of support, we can offer you encouragement and energy, but it only goes so far. It requires humans on Earth who are aware or somewhat aware, who are here to keep those energies moving and flowing, who are whether you know it or not, you are affecting people in all parts of the world who maybe don't even believe in spirit, who maybe have a very rigid religious belief system that's not even consistent with yours, but yet you are affecting them. You're adding that spark of potential to their field of probabilities. And when they're ready to look into that new potential, when sometimes it requires that they have to be in great pain or great trauma, but when they're ready, at least you've helped to plant that new potential for them. That changes the world. Beyond politics, beyond finance, definitely beyond religion, that creation of new potentials changes the world, but not just the world alone. As we've told you before, it changes what's happening out in the cosmos, out in the other dimensions. It's changing what's happening back with your spiritual families. It's changing their potentials. For all the angelic beings who are counting on you, heavy burden, isn't it? Who are counting on you, it's changing the potentials of them realizing their sovereignty. As Tobias told years ago, it's changing the potential for the energies in all the dimensions to start moving again. So, I know so many of you wonder, you ask questions during some of these Q&A sessions that we have. It seems the same questions, the same answers, but we keep doing it all the time. That was funny. So, dear Shambra, what you are doing is changing all of the potentials. It's amazing work. And if we can do anything today, I'd like you to be able to feel into what you're really doing. You ask sometimes during Q&A, what's my passion? You're in it. You're doing it. What should I be doing on Earth? You're doing it. What you do day to day to make a living doesn't really matter. You are living your passion. You are actually doing it. You really are. No, no pay. No pay. Not for you. Everybody else gets paid. So, Shambra, a few things I want to mention as we continue our day. Two questions that were asked a lot is, what's going on in the world right now? Where is the world? Where is the world? Well, it's obviously chaotic. It's obviously in turmoil. And it's amazing, and it's exactly where it should be. You have these things called your WikiLeakers, your whistleblowers. Whether you agree or disagree, isn't it exactly what we've been talking about for years? Everything must come to the surface. If it doesn't come up naturally, it'll come up unnaturally. Everything comes out. In a few years, this world will be a different place. In a few years, this world will be a place where those who lie and those who deceive cannot get away with it anymore. Where those who are corrupt and who are seeking to get more power will not survive. The world is changing, and it's because of the work that you're doing. It's amazing. Where is the world right now? How would I summarize it? I would say that you're going through the black swan syndrome right now. If you remember, Tobias talked about it a while back. Black swan means that it's an anomaly. It's different. It's unpredictable. It doesn't follow any regular patterns. It's becoming actually unpatterned. Actually, the black swan is the new white swan because nothing follows old structures. Now, as the story goes, nearly all swans are born white. So it's predictable then that future swans that are going to be born will be white. It's predictable. It's measurable. But what happens when you get a black swan, and then you get two, and then you get three and four? Suddenly it blows the white swan theory to pieces. Suddenly prediction goes out. Patterns go out the window. Nothing is the same anymore. That's what's happening on Earth. That's why prophecies don't work anymore. Any prophecies do not work. Even if you made a prophecy today about what was going to happen tomorrow, it probably won't. It's the only prophecy that you can really make, is that it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. In this age that you're living in, everything is getting destructured, and for good reason, because you want it to be. You don't want the old structures that have been in place thousands or tens of thousands of years are going by the wayside. Finance, look at finance. Some of you worry and say, what's happening to the market? Did the market go up or down today? Yes. Yes. Should I take my money out of the market? Yes and no. Doesn't matter. The bank systems, you're going to see some new revelations in the bank system that will have ripple effects through all of the banking on a worldwide basis. And it's going to clear out some of the lies and distortions and corruptions that have been in the financial systems, the manipulation. And by the way, I have to say, you've been led to believe that wants to put in a footnote here. These are Adamus's thoughts and beliefs, not Caldra's. So we'll drink to that.
Uh-oh.
You've been led to believe that these are smart people that are leading the banking institutions and the businesses and the governments. They are not. They're conniving people. They are sneaky people. They are very aggressive people, but they're not necessarily smart. And they have not had your best interest in heart at all. Look at the politicians. Look at the level of how the corruption and the hiding and the lack of, what do you call it, dear Linda Visa, lack of transparency. Well, there hasn't been any real transparency. It's all just lip service. And that's going to change. It has to change. It has to change. It will mean that a lot of the current systems will come tumbling down. And that's the good thing. It's a good thing because when they come down, suddenly it's going to reveal the new potentials that have always been sitting there, or let me revise that, that have recently been there, but have been hidden, been kind of behind the scenes. Now these new potentials will come forward. You're going to be living in a different world. So no matter what happens right now, don't panic. Don't get into a lot of drama about it. It's meant to be, and it's a good thing. So if there's anything right now that you could say is going on, it's patterns, structures, trends. Predictability is all changing. It's the time of the black swan. Now, humans by nature love, it's an interesting paradox because they love complaining about the way things are, but they like the way things are. They don't like change. They don't necessarily want change. But you're going to be going through it in your own lives. I'm sure every one of you has experienced a lot of change, a lot of frustration, a lot of anxiety, because part of you is wanting to hang on to it and part of you desperately wants to change it. So you have kind of an interesting kind of a dynamic going on. You can actually take this very unpredictable, chaotic energy, breathe it in as total chaos, as total uncertainty, breathe it in and literally transmute it to create balance in your own life. Balance doesn't mean that things are going to be predictable. It just means they're going to be balanced. They're going to make sense at a very deep intuitive level. Even if it doesn't make sense in a mental level, you just kind of get it. So when this chaos comes in, whether it's your own personal life or whether it's the world, take a deep breath. Suck in that chaos. Breathe it in, because it's just energy. It's just energy, and actually you helped to create the chaos in the first place. You are systems destroyers, systems
busters,
systems liberators, in a way. And you had to do it in your own life first to understand and to feel what it's really like, but that's what you're here for. There is no judgment at all about what's going on, but it's rather everything that's going on right now is in response to human consciousness that is asked for, prayed for, and begged for change. Human consciousness that's realized that it's time to evolve beyond the old standard of the human condition, and time to move beyond that. Time to literally invite the divine energies, the cosmic energies, the interdimensional energies to this planet. They've been kept away for a long, long time. Your planet in these next few years is going to become interdimensional, both on an experiential level, meaning that you and others are going to experience what it's like, to feel what it's like, being multidimensional. It's also happening on a scientific level. It's happening on a mathematical level and even on a spiritual level. You're going to begin to understand the world. Humanity is going to begin to understand there is a lot more out there, and it's not the UFOs and it's not the aliens and their flying ships, but there are a lot of life force energies out there, and a lot of life force energies right here. I've always been here, but have been invisible because of the blinders that humanity has had on. Tremendous amount of life force energies. It's all going to lead to some very interesting solutions to the current energy crisis. The energy crisis is both literal and figurative for what's going on Earth right now. So that's basically what's happening. And if you can accept that it's a time of chaos, but it doesn't have to affect you, doesn't have to take away anything from you, it can actually enhance the experience that you're going through right now. Secondly, people say, ask us, me, so what should we do right now? What should we do on Earth with this crazy place? Should we get involved in politics? I don't think so. Should we pray a lot? Should we start a new religion? Probably not. That's just going to add to the chaos and confusion. I have an interesting take on this, one that may take a little bit of absorbing, perhaps a bit of debating, but I contend that what the world needs now is not love, sweet love. But you're welcome to sing it after I leave. What the world needs now is community. For a couple of reasons. Humans, by nature, love, they love community, but they've gotten away from it. Humans, by nature, are actually tribal, very tribal. I guess another way to say it is they're pack animals. And I mean that with all due respect. But ever since humans have been coming to Earth, actually, ever since angels have existed in the other realms, there's been a sense of community, of belongingness. Right now, if you were to survey humans and really get down to some of the core issues, humans all around the world, not just here in the U.S. or in Europe, but humans all over the world feel a lack of belonging. Now, it's an odd statement because, on the other hand, there are so many structures in place, government structures, school structures, business and office structures, but actually people really don't feel like they belong to those. They feel like they're manipulated by them, controlled by them, and destined by them. But they really don't feel like they belong. Humans love to belong to something. Humans love to be with others of like mind and heart. What, in my humble opinion, or not so humble opinion, what the world needs now is community. There are several dynamics of community in my book of community. Number one, affinity. You have to have some sort of common bond or connection, something that brings the people together to create a community. Crimson Circle is a good example. Common bond or the affinity was your past experiences together, whether it was Atlantean or in the time of Yeshua. Those are the two deep connection points. And also the common bond of wanting to bring about new consciousness on earth without getting into religious or even spiritual rhetoric, without getting into a lot of Macchio. Yes, yes. And even though a lot of Chambra did get into Macchio, we're learning to get away from that. So you have affinity. Affinity could be anything. It could be a hog group, a Harley owners group. There's an affinity to ride motorcycles. That brings them together. The affinity could be church. The affinity could be your geographic area in which you live, but there's not so much of that anymore. It's been stripped away. The sense of family even has been dissolved away. Some for good reasons, some unfortunately. Affinity will bring together, or family members have the affinity of having been together before, or coming back to Earth to go through yet another series of challenges together called karma. And many of you, you have your own family connection and wonder why it's so weak. Well, why you're not more deeply connected with your family? Well, you didn't come here to be with your family. They were a vehicle for you. They were a delivery system to get you here, and you got out as soon as you could. So there's a affinity that helps create community. The second part of it is participation. Got to have participation to create a community. Participation in so many of the community areas in the world is lacking right now. Why? Because humans have lost their passion. They've lost the connection. They've been manipulated and controlled, whether by government systems or their jobs. So they're really not participating anymore. They're going through the motions, but they're not active. Now, when I came in after Tobias left, one of my first statements is saying, If you're going to be a part of this community, you have to participate. And thank all of you who are here today, who are listening in. You did. You rose to the occasion. The participation provides the energy, the dynamics, the flow, and also provides the reward, the experience. Thank you for participating in this community that we call Chambra. Humans don't really participate anymore, whether it's in their literal community, the city that they live in, whether it's their country. They rarely really participate. I mean, really get involved in their companies. They show up, they do their job, they leave, but they don't really participate. In other words, their heart isn't into it. They're going through the motions. They go home, and they're not really participating there. They don't sit down and interact with the other family members, share experiences, share thoughts and beliefs. They come home, they eat their meal, and they watch Wheel of Fortune on television. That's not participation, or deal, no deal, or Biggest Loser, or some of these other games I catch Calder and Linda listening to from time to time.
Not too much.
So there's a generally a lack of participation, and that's why you see countries struggling, because the humans aren't really participating anymore. They're almost afraid to participate. And they figure their participation is paying the damn taxes, and that's all they need to do. They're afraid of perhaps being nationalistic. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you realize there's other nations to go along with yours. Yours isn't the only one. But there's nothing... Oh, it's a tremendous experience to absolutely feel French. And to be very national about it, yes. So little participation, so therefore, there's very little community sense. When is the last time any of you really participated outside of Crimson Circle in your community, in the area you live in? Do you know your neighbors? Do you know their names? Do you interact with them? Probably not. Probably not. Because this sense of community in the world is gone. Then, finally, there has to be some sort of what I call service or goods that come as a result of the community. It has to have a reason at the end of the day for existing. The reason could be very simple. It could be a group of people who are part of a aircraft owners group. And at the end of the day, their group, the service that their group produces, in addition to just the camaraderie, the service is legislation for their group. The service that a church community theoretically should be producing is consciousness, insight, and exploration into belief systems and concepts for its members. Very few do. They like to collect money, but they don't necessarily produce the type of goods that I'm talking about. A city, a state, or a country should theoretically be producing services such as healthcare, infrastructure, support for its citizens on a broad basis, defense, although perhaps one day they won't need defense. These are the services and the goods that a government structure should be producing. Most people feel that they're not doing a very good job at that, considering how much they have to pay in taxes. So you have this very skewed sense of community that's taking place in the world right now. People almost resent the communities that they're forced to belong to, their political, financial, and social systems, so they actually are retreating. The good news in that is that in that retreat away from community, they're having to go within. Because there's no longer the distraction of a community. They're having to take a look within. The bad news is that very few people actually have the tools or the capabilities to really look within in a healthy way. So what you're seeing is a lot of inner looking that's getting very imbalanced, and then a lot of mental health issues, a lot of breakdown. When the breakdown occurs, people used to have community to fall back on as a support system, but the community structure really isn't there anymore. It's gone. So what do? Well, you're seeing it take place in the world right now. They get a gun and go to a local school. There's road rage. There's all sorts of heinous acts going on. And I contend if we can come back to a new form of community, a new consciousness of community, not necessarily based on old standards, but on a new standard of community, where individualism is encouraged and supported, but yet the bonding, the fraternity, the camaraderie of a community is still there. In a way, actually, that's what Crimson Circle is doing. It's actually one of many examples on Earth, but an example that I am closest to right now. It's actually what you're doing is creating a community that's not necessarily connected physically, because you've got this brilliant thing called the internet right now. It's a mechanical, electronic mass consciousness. You've got this vehicle that allows you to create a community. The community has been created. Over 100,000 humans answered this call that Tobias, the Crimson Council, and you put out. You've reached out, you've extended out to this, and you've made resources available. I hear now that you're embarking on a new venture, this radio network. Again, part of the community effort. But what else, dear Shambra? I encourage you to go intuitive right now. What else can be done for this community, for the Shambra community, without it becoming an elite club, without it becoming exclusive, but a community that opens itself up, that has an affinity, that allows and encourages participation, that provides services and goods. What else? And I would go so far as to say that if you put your consciousness into it and you really put your arms around this concept of community, of a voluntary basis where people can participate if they choose, this new consciousness community. I say that you'll see a whole new level of Crimson Circle, a whole new level of your work here on Earth unfold in these next few years, and beyond what you might even be able to imagine right now. Why? Because humans all around the world actually are seeking this, a place to belong, a place that they can call home. Man, not permanent home, but where they can go for some sort of stimulation, where they can go for friendship, where they can go and just be accepted for who they are, where they can go and explore new levels of consciousness that they would have never dared to explore on their own. But within a community that has standards or other humans that have done that consciousness exploration, that have gone beyond what they believed were their limits, that have opened up, who create a community where the ones who are crying out to us, the angelic beings, crying out, praying, begging for something, create a community that's a safe place and an inspiring place and a transcendent space for them to go to. Dear Jambra, that is what you are doing, creating that community. Now let's explore what the next levels are. And with that, I'd be delighted. Well, I will take questions.
I'm going to just abbreviate some of these just to keep it simple. There were several people, angels, that asked about what's the story with the fire, the huge fire in Israel.
Well, I think everyone, feel into the question, the fires in Israel, what's that all about? What are fires symbolic of?
Transmutation.
Transmutation, clearing. Now, where are some of the oldest energies on earth? And who was just in Israel doing a workshop? Andra and Ann, Norma and Garrett. So we have clearing, we have fires. Now, I'm not saying that they started them, but you know, all it takes is a spark to start a fire. All it takes is a little shift in consciousness. Could be 40, 50 people gathered together for a few days to really be themselves and really consciously work at clearing some of the old stuff. That's all it takes. Now, I would have to say the tinder was already there. No pun intended there, Gene. the conditions were all prime for this because there are enough people in Israel right now that want change. And a whole lot that don't. Actually, that conflict, energetic conflict between a few that really do and a lot that don't, actually kind of stokes the fire. There are enough in Israel right now that are saying, no more. We don't have to be the energy holders anymore. You know, that's from my perspective, Israel is such a place of old energy holding, and it has been for eons of time. You find the major religions of the world have all focused and consolidated there, and they're all holding an energy. They don't even know why they're holding it anymore. But they all have to go there to maintain their piece of the pie. And then comes along a little spark that says, why? Isn't it time to let go? Isn't it time to go beyond some of those rigid, old, warlike religious beliefs and structures? Not a community anymore. It's a frickin' prison. When a community becomes so controlling, so locked into their belief systems and so locked into their structures, it is truly a prison at that point. And this clearing that's taking place right now is drawing worldwide attention, definitely drawing attention to the region. It's not Moses that went bad with a match up there in the hill. It's not the burning bush. It's the changing consciousness. And it will do Israel good. Yes, there are lives that were lost. But it wasn't necessarily an accident. These were also people that were ready to move on, ready to move through. You have to understand that anytime we have a situation like this, there are angelic beings and human beings who know in advance that something's going to happen. We don't necessarily know exactly what's going to happen because we're no longer in the white swan era. So even we don't exactly know, but we know something is about to ignite and we know there are individuals involved. Anytime we have a situation like that, the angelic beings and human beings are on the spot immediately, basically offering those humans who have a very high potential to go through the devastating effects of the event, basically saying, you have a choice. You don't have to perish in this. You don't have to die in this event. Oddly enough, most of the time they choose to do it. It's not a conscious thing. It is happening at a different level. But those who have lost their lives in this event have done so in a way very willingly. So you're seeing a tremendous clearing there. Anytime you see something like this happening on Earth, whether it's a tornado, a hurricane, a tsunami, fires, anything like this, step back for a moment. Take a look at the region. Take a look at what's been going on there over the last 20, 50, 100 years. Take a look at the symbolic nature of the event that's taking place. New Orleans, the hurricane that occurred down there. That was actually, and it's going to sound strange, but that was actually called for. It was actually requested by the area. Now, it doesn't mean that people actually went out and said, we need a good hurricane to take care of this. But their energy had gotten so stuck and so corrupt and twisted, and there was a lot of the voodoo energy in that area. Haiti, the same thing. Look what it's clearing. Sometimes it's done with water, sometimes with fire. A variety of different ways it's done, but usually you can go back to the four basic elements. Take a look, the land heaving up, the water cleansing, the fire transmuting, the air infusing or suffocating. And look at these events and what's going on. There is indeed a lot of clearing, a lot of changes going on. They don't have to be this way, by the way. It doesn't have to be this way. There's a very graceful process of releasing old energies, and it's called breathing. Breathing, accepting, clearing, it can be done very, very gracefully, but for some reason, humans still like the drama. So thank you for the question.
How do I get a clearer conscious connection to my higher self?
Clearer conscious connection to higher self. Choose it and trust it and then breathe it. That's all. Anything other than that, it's a bunch of macchio. It really is. Just choose it. You know, every one of you listening today, every one of you here, consciously chose it at some point. And it could have started lifetimes ago, but you consciously chose this this integration or clarity, whatever you want to call it. Every one of you chose this calling that Tobias put out. Every one of you have chosen to be here. When you consciously do it, and you're aware in your body of consciousness that you're doing it, it has a profound effect. We're going to talk at our Shoud next week about how energy swirls and moves and interacts and how then it can get stuck, but how it does its dance. How when you make a clear choice about something and then don't go mental about it, just let it go, how it goes out and literally starts gathering other energies, repatterning, reorganizing things to create tomorrow's reality for you. So you make a clear choice, it changes the resonance, not quite the right word, Caldra, but frequencies, the resonance that you're putting out. You're constantly radiating your consciousness, always, no matter what. And it's constantly interacting with other people, with Earth, with your aspects, with spirit, with everything. So the minute you make a conscious choice, your resonance will change. It'll go from this pattern to maybe this pattern. When you trust that resonance, then it can go out bold and strong. When you don't trust it, you put out a little resonance and then it comes back in and it goes back to its old patterns. But when you absolutely trust that resonance can go out into dimensions unseen and unknown, it has a clear shot. And that's why trust is so important. It literally sends out your resonance. And then when you breathe, you are basically accepting back in to your reality what your resonance has gone out and gathered. You then breathe it back into this reality. It's a beautiful, simple cycle that takes place. So, in answer to the question, choose, trust, and breathe. That's simple. Next.
Hello. Thank you for all that you do. Where do you see the Crimson Circle expanding in the next few years from now, and what are the potentials that you can see for us?
Good question already answered. Community. Community. I'm going to encourage Shambhar to start contemplating community. What is community? How is Crimson Circle developing the affinity, or what is the affinity? What is the participation? You know, when Tobias was here, he let Shambhra off the hook. He let Shambhra just listen and go out into the la-la land and be stander buyers, you know, not get actively involved. But as I said, one of my first messages was, you have to participate. And not just because Crimson Circle needs your support, not just because the staff needs to make sure that there's money in the coffers to get paid, or not just because they are trying to get something from you. The participation has a direct effect on you also. The level of your participation is also the level of your own coming into consciousness. So the participation ultimately provides the energies for the community to grow and to continue to provide new services and tools that you can't even imagine right now. So, good.
Okay. You know how much I love you and your audacity, so I'll get right to my question. In my daily interdimensional explorations, I almost always choose the potentials which feel the best and seem to have the most potential for enjoyment and creativity. And I'm wondering if I might want to experience a different kind. Often I explore potentials which are so intense, they knock me back and are obviously totally different, much denser and more intense than my everyday reality, and I don't choose to experience them because they're so out of my comfort zone. Would it be to my benefit to choose to experience these potentials also? And hey, why don't you try to answer a few angel questions more often?
Indeed, and my audacity is not what it appears to be. I'm actually a very nice angel. But when you look at it, Shambhra basically said, we want something different. Shambhra said, we're tired of the old expression of spirituality. Give it to us tough, give it to us direct, and make us really be aware.
What were we thinking?
I don't know, but... So, as I've stated before, you're like the spiritual pirates, and that's why I'm delighted to work with you. So, in terms of your experiences here, going into other realms, into other potentials, I highly encourage it. It's a form of acting when you allow yourself to just go out somewhere else into the other dimensions and experience it. Let yourself go out of your mind. I know a lot of you think that, well, I'm just making this up. Yes, you are, and it's beautiful. And no, you aren't. You really can't just make it up. In other words, it isn't just a made-up fantasy. The moment you start imagining, it becomes real. Literally starts a process in the other realms, and then sometimes here on Earth. It starts a process of energy movement, of energy. It's like an energy snowball. It starts at rolling and collecting even more, and then it will form and shape into something. Through the course of millions of years of human form here on Earth, humans have gotten very rigid, very mental, forgotten how to be creative and how to be expressive and how to play. there was this whole conformity of the mind thing from Atlantis, and everybody was taught to, they're literally programmed to focus energy in the mind and to believe then that the mind was the highest form of intelligence. And it's false. It's absolutely false, and it's driving people crazy right now. The mind is part of a body of consciousness that's meant to imagine, meant to fantasize. I'm not talking just sexually here. I'm talking any kind of fantasy. There used to be, Earth used to be a magical place, very, very magical, where trees would talk and dance, and little light beings would float around, and humans could actually perform interdimensional acts, and other people could actually see it. It used to be very magical. That was programmed out. A lot of times, a lot of you go back into the memory fields, and remember a time when there was magic on Earth. You're seeing it now expressed in a lot of the fantasy movies and television shows and vampire shows. Vampires form a magic in a weird way. It used to be very, very magical, but that was programmed out. It's time to get back into that magic, and you're not making it up. Something was programmed into here to say, I'm just making it up, and I'm delusional, and I have to get back into my mind. Not at all. Go, actually, in our mental imbalance workshops, symposiums, I suppose you call them, that we're doing now, when we talk about some of the ultimate treatment for the truly mentally imbalanced, for the insane, it's fantasy. And some of the attendees in our last gathering in Berlin were scratching their head, said, well, I thought we were trying to get them out of fantasy and back into the real world. Absolutely not, just the other way. You want to give them a license to fantasize, a license to be magicians, a license or approval to go out of their mind. See, they're caught in this in-between zone of the mind and knowing that there's something else out there. They're caught in this, in the crazy zone, not really in their mind on Earth and not really in the fantasy that is reality. So it's tearing them apart. The therapy is to encourage the fantasy and encourage the magic. Now, a lot of your professionals would absolutely disagree with that, absolutely. But I know there's enough of you here that will start working with clients. The breathing, the fantasy, the magic, you're going to have a whole new level of a human being, of consciousness. The crazy people, some of them went crazy because of they were traumatized. But really, what caused the trauma in the first place? What caused them to have a traumatic event in their life? Was because of sheer boredom of being in the brain too much, of not being the full consciousness. So we get them back to that, and we're going to have a profound effect on mental imbalance. So.
Okay. Here's my question for Adamus. Dear Adamus, is there someone on the Crimson Council that is an expert on the Devic Kingdom and the cooperation between humans and nature spirits and elementals? I'd love to team up with anyone who has the view from the other side of the veil on this particular field of expertise. In particular, I would like to cooperate on writing a book on the new energy cooperation between humans and the magical. Also, written new energy history of the human-devic cooperation since we came to Earth seems like something a lot of people would enjoy reading.
Absolutely.
Do you see a potential
Absolutely.
For that to happen? And
not
any
only
comments?
A potential, but I encourage this.
It's from the Fairy King.
First of all, I would say that all of the beings in the Crimson Council are experts on this because they've all been part of the fairy world, of the magic world in one way or the other. And every one of you is also. If you allow yourself to imagine for a moment, you've had experiences with the magic of Earth. It's such a crying shame. It's such a bleak shame that the magic was driven out by the church. A long time ago, the Earth has become a very gray place as a result of it, a very boring place. So what do humans have to do when they have this grayness and they boredom? Well, they create trauma and drama. It creates a false sense of excitement and purpose. When we are going to go back to the magic, the fantasy, when we reconnect with that, it's still here, just is out of connection, then this earth is no longer such a rough, hard-edged, dry, bleak, boring, gray place. It becomes colorful and exciting, and it becomes a fantasy world in itself. You won't need to go to the movies to hear about fantasy. It'll be occurring in your own life. Now, that being said, as we get back into this, a lot of you are going to have to encounter your own fear, your own oaths and vows that you made never, ever to go back there again. You were forced at threat of burning at the stake and other cruelties to disavow that. And even though you said you're going to disavow it and still try to hold on to the belief, a big part of you then did disavow it, and you disconnected. It's here, and it's not only here on Earth as it has always been, but there are new magical elements coming to Earth right now. As Gaia is leaving, it makes way for new magical elements to come in. As some of the species of the animals are leaving, very appropriately, they're leaving right now, it's making way for the elemental species to start coming in. Those elemental or non-physical beings are then going to start helping shaping and creating some of the new species on Earth. Species that are much more prepared or much more adaptable to the current environment you have on Earth. I'm not talking about pollution and things like that. I'm talking about consciousness. You have species here that have been here for hundreds of thousands or millions of years. Their patterned energy was developed for a different era. Now you're going to have new species coming in, just like you have the new crystal children come in. Earth is going to be a whole new place. So the ones to call on from the Crimson Council are really aspects of yourself. It is the Merlin energy. Merlin was not a person. Merlin is a consciousness that allows you to literally walk back through time, literally allow you to transmute and to alchemize, literally allow you to transmute or to change energy from one stuck form into another stuck form. So, thank you. Two more questions.
Only two, okay. Oh, then I need to be more selective. Just two? You sure? Okay. You're so challenging. Okay. I recently listened to the recording of the 10-10-10 event in Berlin. As you speak to the potential for being consciously aware of many realities occurring at the same time, I couldn't help but wonder what this is like for you. Are you aware of yourself as other than the Saint-Germain consciousness as you travel about these other realities, or would it be more like experiencing different shades of your core Saint-Germain self? I desire greater clarity on this exciting subject of potentials and can't wait for you to expand on it.
The greatest gift a creator can give themselves is acting. And when you act, you realize that there's no reality that you can ever actually get stuck in. And a true actor allows themselves to be immersed into a certain experience, but then always with that trigger to come back out of it. And actually, that's what you're all doing. You're acting. You're immersed into this experience. You did create the trigger to release you from it. You just don't know if you want to pull the trigger or not. So in answer to the question, when I come to you as a Damas, I am absolutely acting. I'm having great joy in doing it. It's stimulating, invigorating, frustrating. But it is best described as an act. But it is an act I can release myself from. I will not, cannot, won't get stuck in it. That, in a sense, is the definition of sovereignty. It's the ability to go play in anything and not to get stuck in it. It's the ability to absolutely experience a reality in its fullest state, in its absolute fullest state, immersing into it, and then being able to, at will, release yourself from it and go into another state of being. This may confuse you a little bit, but that's okay. Confusion is good. Gets you frustrated, gets you mad at me, gets energy moving. But you say, so what is the true state of being? If you're acting now, then do you return to your true state of being? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's no need for a home base at that point. Everything is just an experience. Everything is an act, and I say act in a beautiful way. It's an expressive way. You say, but don't you have to go back to your core being? No, there's no need. It is all the core being at that point, just having fun with experience. Not with any need for an outcome, not with any agenda, not for a purpose, not for a mission. It's what we talked about in our last shout. No need for purpose. You don't have to have purpose in order to exist. You just exist because you can.
Two more questions.
Two more.
Okay. Well, this question is representative of several people, but I'm going to read it because of the complexity. But there are a number of people that ask.
I'm going to come back to that. So one of the fallacies, I believe, of a lot of your belief systems is that you still have this desire to go back to something or to transcend to something. You still have an ultimate goal. You're either going to go back home, but most of you have got over that, or now you've replaced that with a makkyo of your third circle. Some place to get to. It perpetuates your search. It keeps you searching for the ultimate. You do yourself a great service if you realize that the ultimate of sovereignty is just realizing you can act in anything you want at any time. You don't have any place to go or any place to be or any goal to achieve. This is it. I mean, this is, and whatever you choose next, then what happens is you start to do them simultaneously. You are here, you are there, simultaneously, fully conscious and fully aware of both realities that you're existing in. Then you spread that out to 3, 4, a dozen realities all at the same time, where you're able to have your full consciousness, your full experience in multiple existences all at one time. That's sovereignty. And to realize you're not owned by any of those experiences, you're not trapped in any of them, you don't have a goal in any of them, you're just doing it because you can. You don't go, a lot of misinterpretation of the definition of the third circle, and perhaps we could do a follow-up on that, the third circle is a state of beingness that allows you literally to be anywhere, everywhere, and nowhere all at the same time. Okay, now.
Okay, this is kind of a question you're familiar with, but let me read this because it puts it in a perspective of creation. This is about abundance. My question, and this is representative of a number of questions.
Yeah.
Why does it take such a long time until the money comes along? I'm still in a state of having barely enough, although I get quite a lot of money from my patients. And what about my health issues? I love to sit on the piano creating, but my arm hurts afterwards really bad. So what? You always say create and express. I wrote my book, finished it in 2005, published it myself, invested a lot of money. Everybody says they like it and tells me how helpful it is. I'm still searching for a new German publisher. The English translation is already available at Amazon. I'm looking at the sales figures every day. Zero up to now. My paintings are getting better and better. I'm already working on the next book. We did a CD. I created the music to the homeopathic remedies that is completely new. And now I face my friend who helped me with €20,000 1 year ago. I would love to give it back before Christmas. But how? I'm breathing every day. Infuse my energy into a 10-year-old note. I just started with it. Anything I am doing wrong? I do trust myself and my creations, but somehow it doesn't seem to be enough, or am I too impatient? Miracles are happening every day on many different levels, but not yet on my bank account. Thank you for your answer.
Actually, good question. And yes. So let's take a look at what's really being said here, not by the individual, but by all Chambra.
Thank you.
So how come it's not working? How come I'm not rich, and how come I'm not successful, and how come my arm hurts when I play the piano, or whatever you want to interject? How come I'm still having physical challenges? Couple of reasons. And these are words, and I understand that, and then you get frustrated with me because, well, but these are words. As I said in the beginning of our gathering here today, you are still taking on a lot of issues that aren't yours, and you feel uncomfortable if you don't have some of these things, truly. And you'll fight me till sunset, which is coming up soon. You'll fight me about it all day long, saying, no, I don't want these. I don't want these things. I want abundance. I want health. I want whatever it is. But I'll come back to you and irritate you in order to motivate you, but say, if it's in your life, there must be something you still like about it. I'm going to write that down. It's that simple. If it's in your life, you must still like it. It's not what you wanted to hear. Let me explain. If it's there, who put it there? Blame it on your aspects. Must be your aspects. Isn't that the new favorite macchio? You must have put it there. I didn't put it there. God didn't put it there. Your parents, well, maybe they did. Maybe it's their fault. Your parents really didn't put it there. If it's in your life, you created it somewhere. Imagine a timeline. And somewhere along the way, you must have put it there. It's there. Human consciousness didn't necessarily put it there, but it could have provided the motivation for you to put it there. Your parents didn't put it there, but it was a good excuse for you to put it there. You put it there. It's not caused by alien beings. They really can't put it there. So if it's in your life, you put it there, and if it's still, excuse me, Calgary shouldn't be drinking Pepsi. If it's still there, it must be serving a purpose. You must like it. Now, you all moan and groan. You moan and groan. But I ask you to take a good deep look. I ask you to really take a look. Because what are you going to be giving up if you let it go? What fears, what challenges, what issues is it going to bring up if you let go of lack of abundance? That you're suddenly going to have a lot of abundance and maybe there's a fear you won't know what to do with it. Maybe you kind of really like carrying that cross on your back. Maybe it's so ingrained within you that you just can't let it go. This is an issue between you and yourself. If it's there, you must like it. Truly. It's that clear. Because who else would be keeping it there? Why would it still be there? Maybe it's because you don't believe in yourself. Maybe it's because you like suffering, which, by the way, a lot of you do. Sorry to say. You actually have given yourself some opportunities, even in this lifetime, to be without suffering. And you actually like BS, be with suffering, a lot more. It somehow makes you feel alive, like you're worthy, like you have something to wake up to in the morning. When you're suffering, at least you have something to face during the day, something to battle against. We talked about tilting at windmills, just battling things you don't really need to be. I would be so delighted, dear Chambra, if this group of angels and staff and volunteers could really take a look at this, to become the standards for the others, to say, yes, it was hard to accept, but there was something I still liked about it. There was something I liked about my health issue. It was an excuse for not doing something else. Something I liked about this being a martyr or suffering. And then learn to release it. Learn to get over it. I see some of you breathing sometimes. You're breathing into. You're actually using the breath to solidify the stuck energy. You're actually using it in a kind of a reverse way to actually even solidify the experience that you're complaining about. You're breathing into your own suffering, your own lack. Well, of course, it will magnify that. It will create more of that same experience. Nobody else can inject anything into your life for an extended period of time. People can come along and convince you for a short period of time, hypnotize you for a short period of time to do something that perhaps you otherwise wouldn't have done. But it doesn't last very long. Ultimately, the things in your life that are there, that are permanent, that are a part of your reality, you put there. It goes back to my magnificent story of being trapped in a crystal for 100,000 years. I blamed everybody else, and I can understand your moaning and groaning because I did the same thing. I blamed everybody else. Well, I actually blamed you for putting me in the crystal. And I believed that only you could get me out, or an outside force could release me. Until I exhausted myself, in exhausted every what I thought was every possibility of getting out, and finally, in my state of exhaustion, it suddenly dawned on me. The one thing I hadn't tried to do was get myself out. I suddenly realized that I got myself in here. In spite of all the blame, all the blaming everybody else, I got myself into that crystal because I was so upset, so mad at all the rest of you for being these glorious spirit priests and priestesses and high beings of Atlantis, and I was just a little slave boy. It was my own anger that got me in there. And if I got myself in, I could get myself out. If you could get yourself into poverty, which, by the way, is an unnatural state of being. It's an unnatural state of being. Disease is an unnatural state. Somehow you got yourself into it, you can get yourself out. How? If you absolutely to choose, but to really mean it. I really choose it. You already gave yourself the tools for doing it. You just don't want to see the tools. It is really that simple. You struggle with it. You play games with it. You say, oh, it's not working. Then there's obviously still something that you like about it. And if you want to play the game, if you want to continue that, we're more than happy to support you, to cheer you on. The minute you're willing to change it, we're more than happy to be here to assist you. I would particularly challenge this group today, or it's not the right word, Caldera. I would invite this group to do two things, three things. First of all, to help to develop the consciousness of community for Chambra. What is a new energy community? And I'm not talking about going and living in some commune, but what is the concept of community? Secondly, to take a look at things in your life and a real heartfelt look at, and to isolate a few specific things that are in your life and what you must still like about them, why they're still there. And number three, to trust yourself in it and to wipe the smirk off your face. I believe it's the same thing Calder tells you, to stop rolling your eyes. Just do it. Stop fighting it. Stop challenging. You're staying in the game. If it's in your life, you must like it. That simple. And wouldn't it be amazing for some of you to literally learn how to go beyond it, how to get over it?
That's the question.
Choose it.
But you just said it's not about us. I'm very confused.
Good. I told you would be. First of all, it's not about you, but you pretend it's about you. You take on issues, suffering, or disease, or lack of money, or lack of joy, like it is yours. That's the great mystery, actually. That's the paradox in it. It's not yours, but you've led yourself to believe it is. So there must be something that you like about it. There must be something that, at some level within you, says, I'm serving humanity by doing this. I'm working through everybody else's problems. One of the big things that a lot of you say is that I've got more energy, I've got more enlightenment than others, so I'll take this on so they don't have to. Well, they still have to. They still have to. You're just taking it on also. You must like playing this role for whatever reason that you're still playing it. I guess the question is, do you really want to let it go? I mean, really, really want to let it go? More than a person who is being forced underwater, can't breathe more than they want to breathe. Can you really let it go? Some of you are actually semi-satisfied with some of this. You know, I'll be very direct here. Glad it's the last question. Some of you really actually enjoy the game, the act. You really do. But you want to just sand down a few of the rough edges. You want the game to continue. You just don't want it to be quite as hard. And a part of you is saying it's either all game or no game. Part of you is saying, no, we're not just going to have a few more dollars to play the game even more dramatically. We're either going to get in the game or get out. So some of you are asking for just a little less pain, a little more money. But there's another part of you that's saying, no, we're done with the game altogether. So you're in this dilemma. Do you really want a little more money so you can keep playing the game, a little more health so you can keep playing the game, or do you want to get out of the game altogether?
Yes.
So you say that, I hear that, but you get back into the patterns. So what do you do to really initiate change in your life?
What?
Yes. Yes. That's the answer, is yes. That will get you scratching your heads tonight. Yes. You already know the answer. Just do it. Yes. You already know what needs to be done. You can tell me. You can write the books. Yes. Now, when are you going to do it?
So my brain doesn't know, but do I know it in here?
Repeat that.
My brain doesn't know, seem to know, but do I know it in here?
Jeffrey, yes. so people yes. listening in can hear.
You say your brain doesn't know, but do you know it in here?
Right, because we think.
Yes. 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 You but you're still comfortable, Mary, going back to the brain. It's a very, very, very comfortable place for you to go. You like it. It provides you with a level of safety and security. This feeling of unrest, this feeling of anger and frustration is coming from here saying, get out of the brain, Mary. And then you say yes, and you go back to the brain. Yeah, because it's really comfortable. Because it's really comfortable. Exactly. So now it comes back to the trusting, this voice that you're hearing. This same part of you that hasn't allowed you to, it kind of hasn't allowed things to work out because it would just get you deeper into the old game. So it keeps you right on the edge. Always on the edge. Have you ever noticed you're always on the edge, but it always works out, kind of, at the last minute? And now the brain, is the brain saying yes or is the heart saying yes?
That's what I'm not sure about.
But you are sure about it. What happens? I just saw it in you, what you call the heart. The energy expanded. Yes, yeah. I know it. And then you took it up to the brain.
What was that?
Took it up to the brain. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a wonderful gathering because I'm going to put it back on you.
Oh, that was
if it's in your life, you must like it. Now, what do you like about it? What it's there serving a purpose. And it's not a bad purpose. It's not a bad purpose. What do you like about it? And you know, if you're going to be in the game, you might as well like it. Or get out of the game altogether. But like Mary, so many of you are right on the edge, just barely getting by, just barely making it, and just enough. Maybe it's time for you to change that. There's no magic wand I can wave, but there's magic wand you can wave. And there's no real mystery in it. There's no secret. In it. The secret is there is no secret. There must be something you like about it. And the moment you realize what you like about it, you actually don't have to do anything. Just that realization, this is what I really like about it, you actually don't have to do anything. You don't have to do some sacred ceremony or start a fire in your backyard or burn your house down or anything else like that. The realization brings a new consciousness that brings you to a new level of saying, yeah, maybe I do like the game. Maybe it's okay to play it. Maybe it's time to get out. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to really be able to get out of the illusion of the game so that you can get back into games without getting stuck. The definition of sovereignty, acting, the ability to go into any consciousness, any experience, to realize you'll never be annihilated, there is no death, there is no end or finality. You can go into anything, you can just act and experience and enjoy it for what it is. So with that, dear Shambra, what do you like about it? It's been an honor serving all of you, and once again, on behalf of Tobias, Tobiwa, the Crimson Council, and all of the Crimson Circle, we thank and honor you for the work you're doing. There must be something you like about it. With that, I am that I am, Adamus, in service to you. Good evening.
So in closing to this segment, in closing to this special angel webcast, I invite all of you here and all of you listening in to breathe with me, for us to breathe together deeply and consciously. The breath that says of all that we choose life. Breathe it in deeply, feeling, allowing all that you are to be present with you, with each of us. Breathe and feel the gratitude that is here for each of us in creating our sovereign and special journeys, each and every one. Breathe. Breathe and feel the potentials of community set forth for us. Breathe and feel all together, yet each individual, each separate and divine. We breathe and allow, and we thank you deeply. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Well, I hope that this was a message. I'm going to have to sleep on this and kind of feel with it. I'll be curious to hear your feedback. Actually, I kind of enjoyed the message, and now I'm kind of going to be a little more excited about pushing for some Q&A because I kind of enjoyed this. How many of you enjoyed the Q&A? Yeah, so we'll look to see if maybe he'll do that. And I will also tell you, for all of you that sent in questions, it was real interesting because the questions really, truly reflected a difference of who we are and how we see ourselves and a more sovereign view of ourselves. I really saw it in the questions. I was so really taken by the what they reflected. And but the funniest, well, I don't know if it's funny, but one of the most interesting things I noted, there were the least amount of questions I have ever seen related to relationships. Everybody just, whatever it is, and just people seem to be fine and sovereign with it. You know, the relationships are what they are. And there was, I don't think there was a single question in there related to relationships. Health and abundance and some other things, but nothing about relationships. Now, isn't that an interesting evolution? Yeah. So thank you again. Thank you for being here. I'm sorry?
It's because we don't have relationships.
Oh, the feedback from the audience, from Mary, was that's because we don't have relationships. Well, we all do. We all do. So again, we thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. And thank you for participating, whether it's an angel or staff or a volunteer. We thank you again for what it is that you support and what we're all creating. So thank you. Thank you very much.